Healthcare is too expensive. Employers are offsetting costs onto their employees. Who will make health benefits affordable for hardworking Americans and their families?
You will! This is the Empowering Plans Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you once again emphasize the benefits in your benefit plan. Now prepare to learn,
plan,
save,
and protect with the FIA Group.
Welcome, everyone, to the Empowering Plans podcast. I am your host, Corey Krieger. I am very excited about today, but you should be excited as a listener because you are getting a very special Kentucky Fried version of the Empowering Plans podcast. And I say that because I am joined today by the illustrious Cindy Merrill. Cindy, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Corey. How are you?
I am great. You know, we are recording this podcast a little early. So I got up, I made my throat coat tea. I wanted to make sure that I was in tip-top shape for this podcast because I'm very excited about what we're going to talk about today. And for those of you out there, you might ask the question, why is this going to be a Kentucky-focused podcast today? Well, if you're living under a rock or unaware, Louisville, Kentucky, home of FIA's second largest office, will be the center of the sports world this weekend as it is Derby time. The fastest 2 minutes in sports are coming up. So Cindy and I wanted to get together. We wanted to do a podcast that was Derby themed. Cindy, are you excited as I am about this?
I am thrilled. This is the best week leading up to Derby week. It's the best week here in the Bluegrass. It's better than Christmas some years.
Absolutely. And, you know, we could do 30 minutes on the Derby. I could talk about it all day. But I think by contract, we have to talk about industry related topics, which we are also prepared to do, which is a great thing because it's Derby time, but it's also Supreme Court hearing time. And there's been a lot of arguments in front of the Supreme Court over the last couple of weeks. A couple of them have really piqued Cindy and my interest. We're each going to kind of break one down, talk about it a little bit. And then at the end of this podcast, we're going to wrap it up, talking a little Derby, maybe giving some picks, maybe talking horse names. Very excited about that. So let's get right into the heart of it. That way, when Ron does his quality assurance check, he knows that we have talked about industry-related topics. And the case that I have kept an eye on, and I listened to the oral argument last week, is Idaho and Moyle v. United States. So before I get into what this case is about, I do think that I have to give just a slight disclaimer, maybe a little shout out. I am very good friends with the Deputy Solicitor General of Idaho. His family actually stayed with me a couple months ago, and he was the one who argued this case in front of the Supreme Court. We're law school friends. We go back a long time, and he's just one of my favorite people in the world. So there's my disclaimer. There is a little bit of bias just based on personality type here for me when I discuss this case. But I would encourage everyone to go and listen to it because it is a very important case and it's one that's picked up headlines. You know, not all Supreme Court cases trend over and pick up national headlines, but this one does because it is on the hot topic in the industry right now. We're in a post-Dobbs world, and at the heart of this issue is kind of the topic of abortion. So let me lay out kind of the core issue of the case, give a little background, then I'm going to talk about the Biden administration's argument, the state of Idaho's argument, and then we will let Cindy have a shot at it here and talk about a case that she's interested in. So really what the core issue of this case is, it's going to circle around EMTALA, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. So I know that in this space, we're all probably familiar with EMTALA, but basically in the clip version, EMTALA requires hospitals with emergency departments to provide medical care and screening, and it does not allow hospitals to refuse or examine individuals with an emergency medical condition. It then goes further, and this is really where the core issue of the case that was being argued in front of the Supreme Court was, is if your facility, your emergency department, cannot provide the type of treatment that is needed in an emergency situation, then the acting physician at the emergency department must stabilize and transfer the patient. Okay, so that's going to be the important part, the stabilization and transfer if the facility can't provide the care. So EMTALA is the federal law that's kind of in question. And then Idaho, for those of you who don't know, does have one of the strictest prohibitions on abortion in the country in the post-Dobbs world. It is a total abortion ban with an exception for the life of the mother, and it carries a penalty for providing abortions that can be charged as a felony if an abortion is performed illegally in the state of Idaho. So you have a state with a abortion prohibition. You have a federal law, EMTALA, that requires medical treatment. And so we're going to transition over here to talk about what the government is arguing, because the government was the one who sued the state of Idaho here. And really, the core of the government's case is that can Idaho deny pregnant women essential medical care to prevent grave harm to their health, notwithstanding EMTALA's stabilization mandate? So it all centers around a pregnant woman shows up to an emergency department in the state of Idaho. Idaho has a ban on abortion. If there is a pregnant woman with a condition in which abortion is the stabilization treatment, will the state of Idaho prohibit or will EMTALA require that an abortion be provided in that situation? And really, the way that the government set their argument up was that they attached a list of real scenarios that have occurred across the country since the Dobbs decision, in which pregnant women show up to an emergency department and an abortion had to be provided, right? And they listed a couple of the hypotheticals: severe preeclampsia, right? Preeclampsia, very significant condition, very scary condition that ultimately can lead to liver failure, can lead to the death of the mother. If a pregnant woman presented with severe preeclampsia, what would the state of Idaho do? Another hypothetical that they laid out was whether or not if there was a severe rupture of the amniotic sac, in which that can lead to infection, can lead to sepsis. And again, these were real life stories. They weren't imaginary hypotheticals that the government came up with. They took real life scenarios that occurred in a post-Dobb country and kind of posed the question of, we are saying that EMTALA would require an abortion in this treatment because that is the appropriate stabilizing care. Okay. Ultimately, the state's response to that argument was that EMTALA and the Medicare Act does not require any specific treatment. And in response to the hypotheticals, the state of Idaho argued that of all the hypotheticals that were laid out by the government, every one of those hypotheticals, and this was attested to by the Idaho Supreme Court as well as the Idaho legislature, was that these hypotheticals would meet the exception for the life of the mother requirement in Idaho. So really, the state of Idaho was kind of saying, we don't think we need to be here because our exception for life of the mother would allow physicians in the state of Idaho to perform an abortion in these situations. That's why there's an exception, and no doctor would have to worry about the fear of prosecution of the felony requirement in the state of Idaho because none of those abortions would be banned or illegal. Okay. So the state also argued that there is no specific treatment requirement under EMTALA. It just says that emergency departments must screen patients, it must stabilize them before transferring or discharge, and EMTALA, within the text of the act, actually says specifically that it does not trump any requirement imposed by state or local law, except to the extent that the requirement directly conflicts with the requirements imposed by EMTALA itself. So long as a state or local law does not trump the requirement to provide stabilization care or to provide medical screening examination at an emergency department, or it doesn't allow physicians in an emergency department to turn away individuals with an emergency medical condition, that EMTALA on its face says it doesn't conflict and it doesn't trump any kind of state law argument. And the state of Idaho likened its ban on abortion to the regulation across the country of opioid use. The state of Idaho argued that abortion is not unique, that it is a procedure just like any other medical procedure, and it can be regulated. And they pointed to the fact that if you show up with acute pain in different emergency departments across the country, depending on what state you're in, you may only be prescribed a two-day opioid prescription because state like Delaware has stricter opioid regulations for its physicians than other states do. Some states don't have regulation on how you can prescribe opioids for acute and chronic pain. Other states have very stringent regulations. You know, that I think they cited specifically to a 2-day supply of a prescription or a 5-day prescription for opioid in certain cases. So the state of Idaho was trying to position the argument as just the way that states can freely regulate other types of medical treatment, the state of Idaho has chosen to regulate abortion, and that EMTALA would not require X amount of opioids being prescribed in chronic or acute pain situations. Therefore, EMTALA can't require that the state of Idaho and physicians within the state of Idaho perform abortions in any situation. And again, they tied it back to a physician treating the patient is the one who's in the best position to determine whether or not the life of the mother is at risk. And if so, they are able to perform an abortion because there is an exception to the life of the mother under the abortion ban. So that's kind of the big scenario. It was a very interesting oral argument, as interesting as oral arguments can be. I would suppose there was a lot of hypotheticals posed, specifically Justice Sotomayor, Justice Jackson. It was very engaging and a lot of questions went there. I would encourage everyone to go and listen to it because this is a hot topic. And, you know, like all these cases that we're going to talk about here, decision will come in a couple months, but we wanted you to be informed about it, wanted you to know what was happening. And FIA is keeping an eye on all kinds of different post-Dobbs decisions. We kind of had our first wave with trigger laws. This is what I would kind of call the second wave of cases where abortion is kind of at the forefront of the legal argument. So with that, I've talked a lot. I'm going to take a sip of water. Cindy, if you have anything to comment on or would like to add to that, or if you just want to go right into the case that piqued your interest, feel free to go ahead. But I'm going to turn my mic off and hand it over to Cindy because she's more well-informed than me anyway.
Well, thank you, Corey. I appreciate your insight into that case. It's very nuanced. It's interesting with the opioid regulation. That's an interesting argument, the way that they were able to present that. We were mentioning headlines. Well, I'm sure that none of us can get past off our TVs or our internet alerts about Trump's case on immunity. And the question coming out is, they just had oral arguments. For those who don't know, Trump he's being prosecuted for some alleged acts that he was involved in with the 2020 presidential election. And the question has come to be, does the president have absolute immunity as the president? And I think that we can all safely say, likely it's not an absolute power, but what does that mean? What is that immunity? Where does that extend to? And that is quickly becoming the question that everyone is asking. What I think everyone had initially suspected was this was a pretty quick, no, you don't have absolute immunity. You are going to be subject to criminal prosecution. However, this has gone up to the Supreme Court, and during oral arguments, I think everyone is pretty surprised to hear some of these questions that were coming out from the justices. Really, what it's boiling down to is, what is the scope of official misconduct? And the Supreme Court is likely not going to answer that. I think that that's going to go back down to the lower courts. And although this is raising some good questions, one of the questions being, if a president is at the end of his term and he authorizes the murder of a political rival, that's an extreme example. Does that absolute immunity extend to that act? Then the opposite part of that is, if we allow presidents to be prosecuted criminally after they leave office, is that going to be just a heyday for political rivals to go after their rival after they leave office? And I think that all of those questions are good questions, and I don't think we're going to have an absolute answer. But we need to lighten the mood a little bit, and I have to tell everybody that while we're talking about the Supreme Court and our fabulous justice system, I have a favorite pick in the Kentucky Derby, and namely, it's Catching Freedom. to whatever side of the aisle, whatever side of the pick you are for the Supreme Court cases, let's bring this back to the most important thing at hand right now in the next 2-3 days is going to be the Kentucky Derby. So my pick is Catching Freedom. He's 8-1 right now, odds to win. So he's not going to maybe make you a lot of money. But the reason I have to tell you why I like him, Corey, is because he embodies everything that I like. I'm initially from Iowa. The owners are from Iowa, but he's trained here in Kentucky where I live and by a Kentucky trainer named Brad Cox. So I'm very excited about Catching Freedom. Corey, who's your pick?
Well, you know, Cindy, thanks for tagging me in here. I love a good winner. I do like, so ever since we've had a massive push over the last 2 years in this country, allowing gambling to allow us to exercise those freedoms that your horse name so aptly captures. You know, the big favorite online right now is the horse named Fierceness. And Fierceness is going off 5-2. He drew post 17. And that's where a lot of the kind of public money is right now. But let me tell you why Fierceness is not my pick. Fierceness might have some issues closing races. In his last 5 races, he's not been able to close any out. Also, since 1980, the favorite horse has only won 10 of the 44 Kentucky Derbies. So if you're going to dabble a little bit, if you're in one of these online gambling states and you want to throw a couple shekels onto the Derby, you might want to steer away from the favorite. Now, I'm not going to veer too far because my pick is a horse that's going off at 3-1. So it's not going to be a horse that you're going to be able to win a lot of money on, much like Cindy's by itself. But I really love the horse Sierra Leone. It's 3-1 right now, drew an inside post on post 2, which can be very important in horse racing. And much like Cindy, I have personal ties to the name Sierra Leone because it's an absolutely banger of a song by Jay-Z and Kanye back from my high school days. Diamonds from Sierra Leone. Jay-Z delivers one of my favorite lines of his of all time where he says he's not a businessman, but he's a business man. And anytime you see a horse name like that that draws you to it, you got to put some money on there. You got to put a wager on there, which kind of leads me to my next point, right? We could pick winners. We gave you some winners. I'm going to leave you at the end of this podcast with a way maybe to make money with Sierra Leone called a trifecta. I'll talk to you a little bit about that. But Cindy, not talking about winning the race. Do you have a horse name out there that just jumps off the page to you? Because there's been some classic horse names in the previous derbies, you know, Flatline, American Pharoah, just some really great names out there. Sierra Leone catches mine. Do you have any particular horse name that you were drawn to?
Yes. So I will love Forever Young because I just hear that song playing every time I look at it. And he's run out of post 11. I believe that he is 10-1. So that one I might just do for the name only.
Cindy, I was already prepared to hit you with the hook of Forever Young. And Pat, you might want to cut that because that is not super friendly. I apologize if you have AirPods in listening to the Empowering Plans podcast. Rod Stewart is my mother-in-law's favorite artist. You go right back to middle school, you hear the song, and you have to absolutely sing along to it when you see Forever Young. I think that's a great name. And keeping it in the theme of our musical picks, Cindy, it's just a little touch coming off post 8, a 10-1 favorite, a 90s classic. All those names pop out. All those names pop out to me. Now, before we close, for those of you who don't know, this is a Louisville-centered podcast. We thank you for indulging us because Cindy and I are unapologetically, even though Cindy's from Iowa, she is now unapologetically Kentuckian. I was born and raised in Kentucky. And the thing about the Derby that really stands out to me is how Louisville prepares for it, right? For weeks leading up to the Derby, we have a laundry list of pre-Derby events. We have hot air balloon races. We have Thunder Over Louisville, which is a massive air show that culminates with a massive fireworks display. We have the Pegasus Parade. Just this week at Churchill Downs at the track, we have today what is locally known as Wokes. I think they moved yesterday. They've put more races on. Yesterday was 5-0 Tuesday. Tomorrow is known as Thurby, or the Thursday before Derby. Friday is the Oaks race. All these events lead up to Saturday and the Run for the Roses. Cindy, do you have a pre-Derby festivity that you and your kids or you and your family or any kind of tradition around any of those pre-Derby events?
So we love Thunder over Louisville. And if no one knows what Thunder over Louisville is, it used to be, I'm not sure if it is still currently, the country's largest fireworks display. And it's not only just fireworks display. The whole day we have an air show over our river, the Ohio River. And then we have fireworks that are shot off of barges and a bridge. And when I tell you that it is the most beautiful spectacle that I have ever seen. And it just gets better and better every year. How about you, Corey? What's your favorite?
You know, there's nothing like driving into work on the commute and looking up and seeing dozens of massive hot air balloons. You know, I took my daughter, drive her to school in the mornings, and she's 6 years old, and she was just so thrilled to see those huge, massive, beautiful hot air balloons in the sky. Something you could not pay me to get up in. Never in my life will you ever catch Corey Krieger in a hot air balloon, but from the safety of the ground, looking up at it, there's just something about it that is magical. And my six-year-old has picked up on it, and I love just seeing those big, massive hot air balloons on a commute in. So I would say the hot air balloon race for me personally, just for the sheer spectacle of seeing these massive balloons over the interstate and in the skyline. That would be it for me.
And I think for me, when I came into Kentucky, the thing that made me laugh is my kids do not have school the day before Derby because we are so busy celebrating that we can't possibly send our kids to school on the Friday. Or you could look at it as we are getting them conditioned and ready to learn how to be a part of this great big excitement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Cindy and I gave you winners, but we were both pretty upfront. Hey, these are kind of favorite horses. Not going to make a lot of money on there. Again, what I'm getting ready to say, entertainment purposes only, I know very little about horse racing, but let me give you a little tidbit here. Maybe you're wanting to make the race more exciting. Maybe you're wanting to throw a couple bucks. The way that I bet the Derby, Cindy, and you can jump in here if you like to bet horse racing just a little bit of a different way, but the way that I bet the Derby is I like to bet a trifecta. And what a trifecta is you're picking three horses that you think are going to finish 1, 2, 3. Right? That's the easy way to explain it. And then you can do something called the trifecta box, which means you don't have to get the order correctly. You're going to bet all three, and then they can win in any order possible. Now, it's going to cost you a little bit more to bet the trifecta box. But the way that I look at this race here, I really like Sierra Leone going off 3-1. I'm going to put that in a trifecta box with another decent horse. You know, I really like Forever Young out of Japan. The Japan horses, they've been hyped up a lot the last 3 or 4 years that one of them's going to come out here and one of them's going to dominate. So I like a trifecta box of Sierra Leone, Forever Young. And then I want to throw in one that's a little bit more of a long shot because then you start really juicing your odds. You can really start making your money. I really like the horse coming out of post 3 because that post position is important. Mystic Dan. So if you were going to take advice from me, which you absolutely should not, you're going to do a trifecta box with Sierra Leone, Mystic Dan, Forever Young. And if that hits, I will be on the next FIA podcast absolutely gloating over how I gave you the winners here and you should have listened to me. Cindy, are you a trifecta fan or do you like just betting
trifecta
straight
box.
Up?
Yes, I'm a trifecta box fan because I like my money and I like the chances that you get out of a box. But with my picks for a trifecta box, Catching Freedom, Just a Touch, and I guess I'll have to do Forever Young. Forever Young, it was a last minute decision there. I couldn't decide, but Forever Young, there we are.
Absolutely. So you can hashtag the Cindy Merrill pick, hashtag the Corey Krieger pick. Probably not going to do well on either one of those, but who knows, maybe you will. Listen, this has been a very fun podcast for me. Cindy, I hope you had a good time. More importantly, I hope the audience had a good time. We wanted to do a fair balance here of informing the regular audience on relevant topics of the EMTALA decision and the presidential immunity. But we also wanted to have a little fun because this week in Kentucky is about fun. It's about the state coming together. It's about people from all over the world coming to celebrate the Kentucky Derby, the 150th Kentucky Derby, which I don't even think we mentioned here, Cindy, but 150. Big time to get your memorabilia. Big time to be a part of the Derby festivities. Thank you all so much for joining the Empowering Plans podcast. We've had a blast, and we will see you next time.